Hey, it is good to be here tonight. And instead of Andrea leaving, Andrea is joining me because we're going to do a little team teach tonight, which I am super, super excited about. So, you know, one of the things, I love that song. I actually just watched that video again today. I will listen. And one of the things that I found really interesting is this week we had we've been kind of playing with social media around here and trying to figure out how to make that work, how to leverage that to share the good news, really. Mm. And this week we had our most viewed photo, and we also had our most, the most posted picture. And they were
most
both
liked.
Most liked picture, and they were both connected to I Will Listen, to the song we just sung. So really fascinating to me. There were 18,000 people who were kind of impacted by that. Since the weekend.
Since last weekend.
And 13,000 of them have nothing to do with Crossroads. So that means people were sharing it with their friends and saying, hey, this thing impacted
cool?
me, and I want you
That's
to know
awesome.
About it. So, which tells me that there's something to this idea of listening and hearing from God that's very attractive. Very, very attractive. And what I want you to know is it's also very true. It's very, very approachable, and you know, it's something that's a skill that we can practice, and that's what we want to talk about. So if you were here over the weekend, we said tonight we want to do a coaching session. So tonight's going to be different in that we really are up here to coach, to kind of share from our own experiences what this whole idea of hearing from God, listening to God has looked like in our lives, and we really want to share that. So what that means is we're going to be teaching some from Scripture and some from our stories, and then you guys are going to practice. You're going to practice. We're going to do some things
what?
As a tribe tonight
crazy
to practice in this direction. So one of the things that I thought might be helpful to say right up front is when you think about hearing from God, it sounds like a supernatural thing. And it is a supernatural thing. And mm-hmm. so, you know, you might have the question, like, isn't it kind of dirty to think about it as a training? Or, you know, is it unspiritual to think about it that way? You know, if it's a supernatural thing.
So uninspiring.
It's so uninspiring. Exactly. You know, it kind of makes it more simple. And what I was thinking about is something that Jesus used to always say around the parables. And he would say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And what he meant by that was, it is supernatural to have ears to hear. There is something that happens in our lives when we choose to receive Jesus, where we get ears, we get the Spirit, and we get ears to hear things that maybe we've already been hearing through our life but didn't know how to categorize or process them, and we hear new things. But Jesus says, if you've been given that supernatural ability to hear, then you should hear. What he means there is, it's actually supernaturally natural or naturally supernatural to hear from God. There is a supernatural component
to
it.
Wait, I'm confused now.
There's a supernatural. Yeah, so it's naturally supernatural. So there's a part of it that's natural. That's the training part, orienting yourself. And there's a part of it that absolutely is supernatural. 1 Timothy 4 says, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So there is a place for training. There is a place for training in the life of following Jesus, and there's definitely a place for training as it relates to hearing from God. And so that's what we're going to be doing tonight, is really training in that skill and kind of an overarching coaching goal. If I could tell you what the goal is for all of us tonight, I would put it this way. What tonight is about is understanding that listening to God is about gaining awareness of how he speaks to your heart. Gaining awareness of how he speaks to your heart. It is a muscle. It is a muscle, just like your heart is a muscle. Gaining awareness of how God uses that muscle, how he speaks through that muscle, and really understanding what that looks like uniquely for you. And you know what? It's okay to be clunky at first. It's okay to be clunky. One of the things that someone mentioned, and I can totally relate to it, is if one of my kids, you know, accidentally thinks they hear me call their name, and they turn around and come to me and say, Daddy, did you call me? I'm not going to be upset. I'm going to be very happy that even though, no, son, I didn't call you, but I love that you're orienting yourself to respond to my voice. And so even if you're clunky with it, even if it's like, I'm not sure if that's God, I'm not sure. Tonight is really about us just beginning to put one foot in front of the other and building some skills, because it is really a beautiful thing. And let me tell you, tonight, I really believe tonight some of us, maybe all of us in some way, are going to hear from God. And man, if you're not sure if that happened, be sure of this. Be sure that God is excited that you are orienting yourself in his direction tonight. He's very excited about that, and I actually do believe you're going to hear from him. So one of the things that we thought would be helpful is to begin by just defining what we mean by the heart. And so you and I talked about this, and I thought you had a really good word picture of the heart.
Yeah, one thing I want to say real quick is just talking about tribe and community, thinking about this skill as a community. It's like if I think of the things that I am the best at, none of those things I ever just kind of trained on my own. You know, I've always been exposed, you know, like the reason I am good at music is because I grew up in a family who played music, you know,
yes,
like,
you did.
And yes, I did.
They're like the Von Trapp, seriously. Everybody in your family is amazingly gifted.
You know, like when I think of the greatest skills I have, it's because other people were around me who were better at me than that, and I got to learn from them. And so I think it's good for us, if we're talking about listening to God as a skill, to be around people and practice it in our tribe and in our community in a way that we can learn from each other.
Yeah.
What was your question?
Cool. The heart.
The heart.
Yes.
I don't know if it's my mic here. So the heart. The heart is a very core thing for me. And I, in my experience, like I view the heart as like a filter that everything in you, like everything in you has to pass through your heart. Everything that comes is from the outside passes through your heart and kind of into you. And everything that you do has to flow through the heart and out, you know? So that's why, I think, what's the verse that, you know, from the heart comes from the outpour.
Yeah.
What is it?
Out of the overflow of the heart.
This guy right here. Yeah. He knows what I'm talking about. So like, think of it as a filter. You know, does anyone have kind of a water filter in their house, like a Brita pitcher or something? You know, a filter.
Or pure. I'm a P&G-er. You can't take
P&G.
It out.
What? Sorry.
Somebody's clapping over there. There you go. That's right.
So, I mean, think about a water filter. Like, it serves to collect. It collects things, and it serves to purify the things that go through it. And so it collects the junk. And if you don't regularly clean or replace that filter, it just builds up. The junk builds up. And that means that either less can go through it or the stuff that goes through it is less and less pure. And so in my life, the heart, I have to pay close attention to the condition of my heart. And that is hugely influential into how I am or if I am hearing from God, is the condition of my heart. So it is a regular, it has to be a regular rhythm for me that God is regularly just kind of cleansing my heart. And I don't mean I never do anything wrong or think anything impure. That's not what I mean. I just mean things affect me and hurt me, and I experience things, and whether I realize it or not, they're collecting on my heart. And unless I'm continually going to God to kind of cleanse it, it'll change.
You talked about criticism and a choice you made. Like that's, I think that might be a good way to kind of process this filter.
Okay.
Talk about that month where you chose to fast from criticism.
The fast from criticism. So there's lots of things that... is that me? My husband's at the soundboard. He's probably ticked off that I... No, just kidding. Quit messing with your mic. So criticism. Okay, so my mind and my heart are directly correlated. Mm-hmm. Which, do you want to say something about that?
Yeah.
No?
I can if you want, but...
Nah.
You gotta tell your story.
Okay.
You tell your story.
So my mind and my heart are directly correlated, and I was just noticing that my mind, like the kind of traffic patterns of my thought, were a little bit chaotic, and what I found myself using criticism as a tool to grow. So I was always criticizing things in the sense of, it was like I had to be dissatisfied with something to get to the next level. Myself, my husband, my marriage, an event, a moment, whatever. I was always, and I didn't recognize it as criticizing. I just thought, oh, I'm just trying to grow. I'm just trying to grow. I just want something better. But God really helped me in kind of revealing that it was really actually just criticism. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to do an experiment to see if criticism is actually helping me grow or if it's kind of just a lie and it's just taking up a lot of space in there. So I decided for a month to fast from criticism. And what that looked like was every time a thought came to my mind of like, I wonder how that thing went. Should I have done this better? Should I have done this better? I just went, mm-mm. I am fasting from you for a month. And I got to the end of the month and I realized I didn't need it at all. And it actually was not beneficial to me. What I thought was a tool ended up being more of a weapon. So I fasted from that, and I found that it was a way of cleansing my heart. Mm-hmm. It was purifying the filter, and suddenly I realized there wasn't as much junk collected on it. So yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And so this idea of the heart, it's really interesting how this is treated in the Bible. So one verse is Ezekiel 36, where God is talking about the work that he wants to do in us. And he says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And then in the New Testament, we hear language around the mind. So for instance, in Romans 12, go to that verse, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, his good and acceptable, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And what's interesting is the definition of the word heart in Ezekiel and the word mind in Romans is the same definition. The Bible actually makes no distinction between what your heart is and what your mind is. We do. We think of heart as like the touchy-feely part, you know, I felt it in my heart kind of dynamic. And the mind is more of our rational mind, you know, I'm thinking objectively. That's how we process it. The Bible basically says that's all the same thing. You have a control center in your life, a filter in your life, and everything in your life flows from there. And so what's interesting about that is as we talk about God speaking to your heart, I think it's interesting and important to remember his motive is always to affect the filter. God is always speaking to us in order to get us to think differently about motivations, to think at a motive level very, very differently. And so when you talk about the importance of kind of having a heart that's pure or a heart that's kind of been cleaned and that filter clean, that's what God does a lot of times when he's speaking to us, that's what he's doing.
And it's true for me, it's true that it is like the source of all things. So a lot of times when we're interacting with God or when we think about praying or talking to God or hear from God, we too quickly address behaviors. Like we go straight for, well, I need to change this and I need to stop thinking this and I do. But what God is more interested in doing is getting to the core, getting to your heart, getting to that filter and finding the root of all things, good and bad.
Absolutely, absolutely. So those are the same things. It's kind of that, like you said, the root of all things. It's the inner motivation. It's the core kind of control center of your life. While that's the case, that is true, it does feel different. It's experienced different from one person to the next.
Ladies and gentlemen,
thank you, Ty.
My husband.
Ty Von Allman.
Said
enough is enough. Now it's time to get this thing right. So, well, while Andrew's talking about that, I'll say there's a difference between thinkers and feelers, though. If we were to make broad generalizations, even though God is connecting to the heart, it feels different if you would classify yourself as a thinker. How many people would classify themselves kind of on a scale? Thinker, feeler is more of a thinker. You're kind of more, you know, that rational kind of thought kind of person. Maybe you struggle sometimes to get to the feeling level, right? How many feelers do we have here? A lot more. Sounds like too many people put their hands up. Okay, so a lot more feelers. So I'll actually tell you, I am probably a little bit of a hybrid between the two. I call myself a literal feeler. A literal feeler. What that means is I'm definitely in the whole Myers-Briggs thing. I'm more of a feeler. But if you ask me to close my eyes and imagine a pig, I may actually imagine the letter A followed by the letter P-I-G. Like, I'm that literal. So I'm kind of a weird bird in that sense. And that plays into how I hear from God. That plays into how I hear from God because I deal with words, and God speaks to me in words. And so I would say 99% of the time when I hear from God, it's through words. It's through reading the Bible, and a word pops for me. And I begin to think about that word, and something's happening as I think about that word. It almost like pops off the page for me. You know, when I'm in here in a setting like this and I'm listening to someone teach, like I really hear from God very clearly in those situations because I'm filtering all of that through, okay, how does that play out with where I am in my life? That definitely is a part of how I hear from God, but I say I'm a literal feeler because there's also an emotion connected to it. And so one of the things, something unique happened this weekend, if you were at the 11:45 service, you experienced that because this weekend at the end when I was kind of given the challenge as I was teaching, it was a little bit different from service to service, and something really interesting happened at the 11:45. We were singing the last song, and while we were singing the song, I almost started to cry. I mean, it was like I almost had to kind of like pull myself
there
back.
There was no almost, Chuck.
I cried. I cried. So.
There were tears.
You would have had a perfect view too, because you probably saw me. So I'm pulling myself together, and I'm like, what happened? And what I've learned is, when that emotion hits, I need to stop, because maybe there's something God is trying to get at my heart. And as I begin to just process through that, I'm like, what is this? What is this, God? I just felt an impression. It wasn't like I heard an audible voice.
When you say impression,
yeah,
what is that? What do you mean by that?
You know what it is? It's the motivation. It's the motive thing. All of a sudden, there was a clear motive that I knew I needed to follow through on.
That's amazing.
It was the motive to encourage men to break isolation. And so I didn't know what was going to come out, but I knew that what came out should be around, hey, guys, we of all people may struggle with this more. We're talking about tribes. We need to break isolation. And I said some things and tried to throw some encouragement out there for men. And I think it was really well received. And it was a unique thing that God, I think, wanted to say, you know? Now, part of me is like, well, darn it, did I miss it for the other services? Like, was I not paying attention? And maybe. I mean, again, it might be clunky at times to hear from God. But for me, that literal feeler thing kind of came into play there, and that was a feeling moment for me, for sure. So you are definitely more, I think, refined. I'd use that word, refined. In your ability to sense what emotions mean when maybe God is speaking to you.
A refined feeler.
So why don't you talk about how that plays out for you?
About being a feeler?
Yeah.
Well, I definitely have always been kind of a feeler. I even joke to say that I've always been kind of emo, but I think that's part of being an artist, maybe part of being a female. I don't know what it is. But over time, what he has done is he seemed to have claimed more and more of my emotions. So maybe when I was younger, maybe, you know, my emotions were usually around me. You know, I feel like doing this. I don't feel like doing this. Or here are my emotions, and I would analyze them. But over time, just because of my experiences and how I'm wired, I have become quite the student of human emotion. And so when I, it caused me to become very familiar with the layers of how what I'm feeling and how I'm feeling and what they mean. But over most of them were centered around me. But over time, God has taken more and more territory, where He's like, okay, that's not about you anymore. You feel this, but it's not yours, and it's not for you. And it was really honestly like I had a very intense desert season, you know, where for someone like me who is a feeler, who wants to experience God and hear God and have a reaction or a way that moves me, just to have a few years time span that goes by where I was in a desert where I felt nothing and I heard nothing. I mean, I just crumbled from the inside out. But coming out of that, when emotion and feeling did return, it seemed to be for other people. It was less about me and more about God kind of just sharing like a sliver of his heart for other people. And it was so strange, and it was a mysterious journey, but over time, it has refined into what I would consider my greatest skill, or the best, most efficient way for God to talk to me, or for me to sense God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Keep going. Okay, so an analogy I would have, again, with the heart, if it's not the filter, then the Bible talks about wineskins, and that a wineskin is like a bag of leather, I guess, that you would store wine in. And over time, that wineskin would harden and dry up and crack. And Jesus says, if you were to put new wine into an old wineskin, it would burst. But so what you need to do is you need to just flat out get a new wineskin. So what happened to my heart in the desert was that it got old and crackled and gross and hardened. And what happened out of the desert was he started pouring wine, new wine into it, and it would burst. And so I had these experiences where I'd kind of notice this is different. And over time, he formed kind of a new wineskin in me. And as a feeler, I feel like my job is to just keep a soft heart to God. But a couple ways that I hear from God, which ways that are connected to emotion for me, Is if someone's talking to me, like I'm talking to a friend or something, and they're talking to me, and then suddenly it's almost as if I was reading a paragraph on a page and a couple words were in bold. It's kind of what it feels like. Someone's talking to me and someone just turns the volume up on one line, and it kind of pierces my heart a little bit. Like I just have a little bit of an emotional reaction to it. That's a pretty good cue for me that God is doing something or saying something. Yeah. A handful of times what I've experienced in the most refined way is God would kind of download a piece of his emotion on me for someone else.
Yeah. Now, don't go into that yet.
Don't go into it.
Don't go into that yet.
Spoiler.
That's for later. Yeah, okay. Spoiler. So if you're tracking, again, because this really is about coaching, so a couple things just to summarize right now. One, and we didn't say this, but it's an assumption. God is a communicator. God is a communicator. So the assumption is that God wants to and is perfectly capable of communicating to us in a way that we can receive it. The primary vehicle, the primary object of his communication is our heart. It's our inner motivations. That's what he's really trying to reach. How that feels, how that's experienced is different for people who are more thinkers, kind of, you know, words, analytics kind of folks, versus people who are emotions, feelings kind of folks. But there is a process, I think, that kind of mediates between those two, and it's pretty helpful. So if you're a thinker, you might like this next part. You might even want to take notes. So this was helpful for me to think about what's the process? What's a process that helps me over time gain better awareness of how God speaks? And so for me...
I love this. The thinker wants the diagram. I would have just, like, written a poem and...
That's exactly right.
...colored puppies.
That's exactly right. We were preparing for tonight, and so we had a conversation, and then Andrea, you know, she's sharing all these stories, really powerful. She's, like, crying in my office, and she's really feeling, you know,
Shut up, Chuck.
So, and so then we leave the meeting, and then I quickly developed a Google Doc with, like, all kinds of bullet points and sent that to her, where she's like, okay, there's a difference between how we communicate, so for sure. But I would say, for me, there's a process that I think kind of mediates this. Let me get out of the way so you guys can see what I'm drawing. And it starts with noticing. And this is language, again, if you've been around for the series Follow the Leader, we've been talking about this a lot. So it starts with noticing. Noticing for me is really the beginning, I think, and it is for all of us, the beginning of hearing God's voice. You know, one of the things that I think about is whether you're noticing through emotion, whether you're noticing through the scripture, there's a couple of questions I always try to ask myself if I'm noticing something. First of all, what am I noticing about God in this? You know, am I being impacted by this Bible verse? Am I being impacted by this conversation about something about God's heart or character? It could just be generally his heart or character or his heart or character for someone. Am I noticing something about God? And then I also think about, what am I noticing about myself? Or what am I noticing about my relationship to others? Because sometimes that's the things that are popping, but it really is a matter of noticing. There's an impression. There's something that happens. There's a moment. You know, in the service, it was the, I'm crying.
Yeah,
why am I crying?
It's, like a,
it's the prick
a surprise,
of the heart.
Yeah.
So then from noticing, the next thing is, I think it's wise to begin to test what you're noticing, to test it against what you know of the character of Jesus, to test it against Scripture, to test it against something that's true, something that's sure. Something that helps you kind of calibrate. Is this just me? Is this the pizza I ate last night? What is it? Like, I need something to test it against. And then finally, you have to act on it. You have to act on it. And when I think about these, I think all of them are enhanced in specific ways. So for me, noticing, and actually this is true for everybody, noticing is all about time. It's all about time. Let me just tell you, there is no substitute for spending time with the Father if you want to hear his voice. There's no substitute for spending time with God. You know, I wish I could give you a shortcut, and I'm not saying you got to get up early in the morning and do it. I don't know. I'm not prescriptive about what it looks like for you, but I will tell you this. It needs to be consistent, and it needs to be regular. And if it is, you will hear from God more over time. In fact, it's interesting. Science is kind of supporting some of what we see in the Scripture. The truth, I really believe that the Bible does not contradict science. I really believe that. We may not know everything, but it's interesting when it comes together. So one of the things that I was telling you, research has been done, and they've found that if a person will spend 15 minutes a day in meditation, prayer, you know, focusing on affirmations, it wasn't a Christian survey, it wasn't a Christian science research, it was anything, but if you spend 15 minutes a day doing that, it has the same effect on your psyche, on your heart, as taking an antidepressant. Very, very interesting. Now, here's what else is interesting. If you only do it 4 days or less a week, on average, you get no benefit. You get no benefit. The minimum has to be 5 days a week. This is science. This isn't, I'm not being prescriptive. I'm telling you what science is showing. And that totally aligns up to what Jesus says, you know, even the song that we sung, keep me abiding. You know, Jesus invites us to abide in me, and you'll bear fruit. Noticing is totally connected to time. And this is true in any relationship. This is true in any relationship. You know, I've been married 10 years. There are things now that Maria doesn't have to verbally say to me, but that's because we have the benefit of time. Mm-hmm. And so the benefit of time enables you to refine and hear God's voice more clearly. So noticing is all about time. Testing is all about the tribe, if you ask me. Testing is all about the tribe. I know sometimes I hear from God and I feel like, no, it's clear and I need to move on it. But it's always refined in me, it's always strengthened in me when I take that to my tribe. When I take the time to say, hey, Andrea, I'm sensing this, and does this sound like God to you? Does this resonate with anything that maybe you've been hearing? When I do that, I'm always more confident when I move to action because I've tested it with the tribe. And there's a lot of times when the tribe, we talked about this week, that you know we need people in our lives to coach us, we need people who can correct us, we need people who can cheerlead us. And a lot of times that's how the testing shows up. There's been times when I've gone to people and said, I think I hear this from God. And what I get back is coaching. Yeah, maybe you are, but maybe this isn't the right timing. That doesn't mean you have to do it tomorrow, but yeah, why don't you start moving down this path? Sometimes I get correction. That doesn't line up with what I think God is saying, you know?
You're crazy, Chuck.
Yeah, exactly. You're crazy, you know? Or think about this scripture. I don't think that's the right way to think about this. That's really helpful. And then sometimes it's cheerleading. Some people are like, yeah, you should have heard that yesterday. Go, do it now. And I need that. So if noticing is about time, tribe is the place where you can test what it is that you're hearing from God. And then finally, the acting for me, just because I needed another alliterated word or else I'd lose my pastor's license, is transfer. Transfer. And here's what strikes me about transfer is this. I totally believe that the more you act on what you hear from God, the more, if you test in the tribe and this is consistent with the heart of God, the more you act on that, the more you obey, the more God speaks to you. The more you obey, the more God speaks to you. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says that. Let me show you what this verse says in 2 Chronicles. Very interesting passage. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart, there's that word again, is whole towards him. You know what? This verse is crazy. This verse says that God is actually doing this. He's like the dad that's looking and seeing who's responding to my voice. And if you respond to his voice, you get more of his voice. You get more of his voice. And so again, it's really this dynamic process that we can gain understanding over time, that we can practice over time of noticing what is God saying? All right, am I spending time with him to hear his voice? I think I'm hearing this. Does this sound like God to you? And then transfer and acting on that. And this is the way that God speaks. And so we want to do some exercises with this. We want to actually take two exercises and work them through this process. Because again, this is about coaching tonight, and we want you to get some practice. And the first one is really about listening to God through Scripture. Listening to God through Scripture. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this about the Bible. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit. We talked about that prick again, mm-hmm. that piercing, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Let me read that again. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. I mean, that's sharp.
I love the thoughts of the heart. Like that, there's nothing that proves more. It's just that most everything that we're doing, considering, motivation, everything is coming out of this core place. And unless we are giving our whole heart, you know, towards God, then
yeah.
If we're giving our whole heart towards God, then yeah, I can see why we'd hear him a lot better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so one of the encouragements I would give to you is if you open the Bible and read it, you are hearing from God. If you open the Bible and read it. So if you read any of the scriptures that were up on the screen tonight, congratulations, you've heard from God. You've heard from God. And here's the thing. When you read the Bible, I heard somebody put it this way and it really connected. When you read the Bible, what this verse is saying is as you read the Bible is reading you. as you read the Bible, it is reading your heart. It is discerning thoughts and actions. And so what I like to think is, you know, if there's a word that pops for me, that's where God wants to speak. If there's something that's resonating, that's where he wants to speak. And I just assume that in faith. And I dig in that area because it's like, oh God, if this is popping for me, there's something that you want to say. So we're gonna practice that right now. We're gonna practice that with another verse. Actually, this is a verse that was Tuesday's daily. So if you subscribe to the daily, this may look familiar to you. And it's from Hebrews again. And so here's what I want us to do. We're gonna put that up there. I want you to read it. I want you to sit with it for a few moments. And I'm just gonna guide you through some questions around noticing and testing and kind of share how it played out in acting for me. You guys ready for that? All right, I want you to just take this in.
That was five people.
I know, yeah. So who actually wants to hear from God? Awesome, okay, all right. So let me read this, and I just want you to notice. As you read it, I just want you to notice, maybe there's a word, maybe there's a phrase, maybe there's an idea that just kind of pops, kind of elevates for you. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So the first thing I want you to do is just notice, is there a word or a phrase or an idea that is standing out as you read that? And then I want you to take it a level deeper. Think about that word, that idea, or that phrase that is standing out. What stands out about God based on that word, phrase, or idea? What are you noticing about God? Or, and it could be and or, but or, what stands out to you about yourself or about your relationship with other people as you consider that word, that phrase, or that idea? Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, in confidence, I'm believing that most of us, if not all of us, have a word, phrase, or an idea that's kind of rattling around in our mind right now. And so here's what I want you to do. This next part, testing, actually does not have to be done in this setting, but I'm going to challenge you to do something before you go to bed tonight to test this. And here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like for you to share that word, that phrase, that idea, what you think it's telling you about God, what you think it's telling you about yourself, what you think it's telling you about a relationship with another person or other people. I want you to share that with somebody in your tribe before you go to bed tonight. That might look like they're here with you today, and after we, you know, leave here, you can say, hey, so here's what struck me, what struck you? And you can have that conversation in the atrium, or you can have that conversation in your car, or when you go to grab coffee. It might be that the person in your tribe that you want to connect with isn't here, and so maybe it's shooting them a text message or maybe calling them when you leave here. But I would encourage you to, now that you've noticed, to test that with someone in your tribe before you go to bed tonight, and just to see if there's not a clarification that happens as you actually work this process and train in this process of hearing God's voice. And then I want you to act on it. I want you to act on whatever it is. Don't let the next 7 days go by without making a decision to do something in the direction that says, God said this, I think this is him, and I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to move in that direction. So for me, Tuesday, this was the Tuesday daily, and I had a really interesting experience for me that was all of this. So one of the things that struck me is, as I read this passage, and I've read this passage before, the word that struck me was the word spur. Spur. That word just kind of like, oh, spur. It's not a word you read every day, not even in the Bible. And so I begin to do some digging and understanding what that word means. And basically, it means to mix it up in community.
Mix it up.
Mix it up. Yeah, like don't, like, encourage each other and mix it up. Like, be willing to, like, engage deeply when it comes to encouraging people to be who God has called them to be. You have a hope. You have a hope. So I should be spurring you on. Hey, you should be going in that direction. I should be spurring you on. I should be challenging you, if that's what it takes, for you to live out of the hope that you have in Jesus. And so I was struck by that word, and about an hour later, I got an email from someone in my tribe. And the email was thanking me for spurring them into community.
What?
2 days before. I mean, and I, you know, you could look at my email chain and see the times. Like, I'm not making this stuff up. And what struck me about that, when I got that email, I was like, you know what? There's something here. What is it? What is it? What is it? And I began to kind of test it. So I sent an email back to them, and I'm like, hey, what struck me was spur. And I told him, hey, spur means to mix it up in community. And we had some email dialogue, and it was a great time of testing for me. And what came out of that was the action was this. I talked about how every great coach is good at invitation. They're good at relationship, but they're also good at challenge. And I would say, if I were to grade myself as a spiritual coach in terms of people that I build into spiritually, I'm really good at invitation, and I need to grow in challenge. I need to grow in my ability to kind of spur them on. And so for me, I know God spoke to me through that verse in Hebrews, and what he was telling me was, hey, it was no you know, special thing need to be defined. Spur other people on in love and good deeds. Be willing to challenge them to take them to the next place spiritually. I want you to do that because you have a hope. That you're spurring them on toward a hope. And so for me, that was totally an experience of hearing from God that flowed from noticing something in Scripture, testing it in the tribe, and then once it was clear, acting on it. And I believe we all hear from God that way. And maybe some of us just haven't acted. Maybe some of us have been unwilling to test it with other people, afraid of maybe rejection or what people might say, or actually afraid they might say, yeah, you need to do something with that. Maybe that's why we didn't go to them. Or we've been unaware of noticing, and maybe that has to do with the time that we're spending even engaging in the Bible. So to that end, one of the challenges that I would throw out is, if you don't subscribe to The Daily, do it. Subscribe to The Daily. You know what? Subscribe to The Daily just for tomorrow and Friday. And just those 2 days, engage with someone on what you hear or what you read, and see what happens. And if that's a way that you're hearing from God, then continue to do that. So that's one way. That's one way that we can hear from God. And you've got some other thoughts on that.
Yeah, just, yeah, when I think about the kind of unique journey that God has taken me on it and to better understand him and his heart for other people, it makes a lot of sense that God would use emotion. Like I said before, I kind of felt like my experiences in life and the way I'm wired have all made me a student of emotion, and so I've gotten very familiar with emotion, and it's become almost like a language for me. So it's a really efficient way for God to communicate to me, and I kind of compare it to music. So if I compare it to music, like, I've never studied medicine or surgery or anything like that, so if someone needed me, Lord, help us. If someone needed me to perform surgery on somebody, they would have to instruct me every single tiny little step of the way. I mean, give me every detail. But with music, I'm familiar with music. I grew up playing music. So if Josh and Robbie and I are playing music together, Josh can, like, just hit the cymbal a certain way, or Robbie can just give me a look and strum his guitar a certain way, and I know exactly where they're going and how to follow. It has become a language. I'm so familiar with it, and other people playing music, it becomes a language. So knowing that that is the way that God has interacted with me over time, more and more, deeply in my heart, it's a really efficient thing for him to kind of tap into my emotions for a moment, and then use that to kind of inform my thoughts or my actions. And, you know, in big ways and small ways. Small ways might be a moment of compassion. You know, and I just get a sense, you know, okay, God is feeling this compassion for them. And then there's bigger ways.
I was going to say, because you had an experience,
yeah,
that was more,
yeah,
it was more than just a light level of compassion. It was pretty powerful. So
I've had a handful over the past couple of years, this whole God kind of taking more and more ownership of my emotions. I start paying attention when they come out of left field, and they don't really make sense for me to feel them. And so I just have started assuming, maybe this is God, and I've tested it out. So one example would be, we were in staff, our staff meeting, and I suddenly started thinking about a friend of mine, and I was struck with just a broken heart. Like, I felt suddenly very deeply heartbroken. Like, this relationship I had been in forever had just been severed, and I was devastated. But that didn't make sense, because me and my friend were doing just fine. We were close. We didn't have a big severed relationship. But I had a very specific feeling. I am heartbroken over, like, this, the distance in this relationship. So knowing it didn't make sense, I thought maybe this is God's feeling for her. So I called her crying. Yeah, I do that. I called her crying, and just because overwhelmed with this feeling, and I said, I'm going to assume this is from God. I think that God is heartbroken, like devastatedly heartbroken over the distance between the two of you.
And can I just stop you real quick? Because there's something you did there that I think is really helpful. And it kind of goes to the testing thing. You didn't say, God is heartbroken about that. You tested it. You said, I'm assuming this is from God. So offering it up in a way that enables her to say, maybe I'm feeling that, maybe I'm not. Like, it's okay.
Yeah, because it's totally weird. That's absolutely weird. If a stranger came to me and I didn't have any compass or anything or orientation with God, and someone just said, God told me that, no, 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 it's like, usually that's like, you know. But, you know, if you test it out, you test it out in your community, and you start seeing patterns in which God might be speaking to you. So I called her and told her, I think God is saying that, God is heartbroken over the distance in your relationship, the severing of your relationship. And she lost it. And she said that, I'm going to cry now. She said that over the few weeks leading up to that, she had been asking God in prayer, do you even care? Do you even care about this, the current condition of our relationship, or the fact that we don't really have one? Do you even care? Do you feel anything for that? And so to be able to get just a glimpse, a sliver of God's feeling for her, emotion for her to express it, answered a prayer for her in a really, really tangible way. And then the byproduct of that is I also get to experience a piece of God's heart. Yeah. So that doesn't happen every day. But over time, God has definitely tapped into a language I'm familiar with. I know back in the day, I was always looking for ways to hear from God that were so outside of me. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I want a big sign, I want a billboard on 75 to tell me, you know, that God wants me to do A or B. But I think I have learned over time that God is... it's not the best way to hear from God with these big external signs. That maybe the best way to hear from God is by giving him more and more access to the deepest parts of you. Yeah. Because I know for me, there's been many seasons of my life in which I'm screaming at the top of my lungs, you know, I haven't heard from you. Hello, are you there? I'm not hearing from you. And that's what I'm saying with my mouth. If I'm being really honest, my heart is doing this. My heart is going, I want space. I don't want you to be closer to me. Yet my mouth is like, mur, 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 mur. I want to hear more from you. So it's just important for me as a feeler to always be considering the condition of my heart. And there's always a direct correlation on how much or if I'm hearing from God.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's good. I think it would be cool just to
do the exercise.
Yeah, to do the exercise. Right. And I don't know if you want to have the band come out now, and so you guys are all set for that. But whatever you want to do, I think it would be cool to do that exercise, and then we'll move into communion.
Okay, the band can wait. Hold on, band.
All right.
Okay, so we're just gonna do a little practicing.
You always wanted to say that, didn't you? The band can wait.
The band can wait. Okay, no. You guys, you can handle a little silence. It's all right. So we're gonna do a little exercise, and just I want you for a moment to give God a little bit more access to your heart. And I would like you to close your eyes so you're not distracted. We're just going to do one big tribal experiment, and the worst that can happen is that you get it wrong. That's it. That's the worst. And that's not so bad, okay? So in this moment, allow God to bring one person to your mind. A face, a name. And don't skip over them. One person. And then ask God to give you one of his emotions for that person. Big or small. And as you kind of dig a little bit deeper in that, maybe it was clear today, but if you dig a little deeper in that, I would just challenge you that emotion usually, there's a motive or a thought or an expression behind that emotion. And I would challenge you, just like Chuck said, before you go to bed tonight, I challenge you to share that feeling, that emotion with that person. Even if it seems strange, you can go into it going, so maybe God feels this way towards you. It can be clumsy, but I would just challenge you to do that.
Just some, any final coaching for feelers? Kind of one or two.
I do.
One or two sentences on that.
I wrote it down so I didn't forget. Okay, so for feelers, people who identified themselves kind of as a feeler, I'll just say this to you: don't believe everything you feel. Don't just let any emotion form a belief. The enemy means to deceive your heart, so protect it. Be responsible with your emotions. Self-controlled enough to let God weed out anything that is not of the Spirit. God wired you to have a deep understanding of his heart and wants to know you intimately. Let him wield your emotions into discernment. Because for me, that's what the journey has been, is God allowing my emotions to become more of a method of perceiving something about him or me. So it's been helpful.
Yeah.
Thinkers. A lot of times, you believe that if you just have enough information, you can control things and safely navigate your way through life without making a single mistake or failure. But that is not freedom. A lot of thoughts come through your head throughout the day. Don't believe everything you think. Check your thoughts and don't waste energy on thoughts that don't agree with the character of God. The enemy means to deceive your mind, so protect it. God wired you to have a full understanding of his character and wants to blow your mind. Let him wield your thoughts into wisdom.
Yeah. That's good. That's good.
No. No, just kidding.
That's a thinker. We need to have that digitally so we can look. No, I'm just playing. So, yeah, we will. We'll figure out a way to share those words. That's really cool. That's really cool. Hey, would you, first of all, Andrea, I know that, you know, typically you're behind the piano and kind of doing your deal and playing, but Andrea is a teacher, and she also hears very clearly from God. And so I just want to thank you for sharing some of your experiences about that tonight, for sure. Okay. And by the way, I just want to say this too. You know, Crossroads has 3 campuses. This is by far the largest, which means that you lead the largest group of people. You do. You lead the largest group of people. And I just think you do it incredibly well week after week on the weekends. We are led by you. We are served by you. And we are blessed by you. And I just want to say that in front of your tribe. I want you to know your tribe appreciates you.
Make me emotional. All right.
Oh, awesome, awesome. Well, hey, as the band comes out, you know, one of the final things, we're going to move into a time of communion. And this morning, I've been in Hebrews a lot, if you haven't noticed. I've been spending a lot of time reading in Hebrews, and so I'm trying to work my way through that book. And one of the verses that struck me just this morning was Hebrews 2:1, and I actually snagged it from the Message version, which is like a paraphrase. I like how it puts it. It says, it's crucial that we keep a firm grip on what we've heard so that we don't drift off. So that we don't drift off. And the thing that struck me about this was, sometimes we can get into this mindset that if God's not telling me new things, then I'm not hearing from him. If he's not telling me the fresh thing about someone over here or the unique thing that he wants to do in somebody's life over here, then maybe I'm not hearing from him. And this verse was a great reminder to me that often what God is speaking to us is reminders. He's reminding us of things that he's told us before. He's reminding us of things that we see in the Bible. And I think communion is one of those special reminders that God is like, I always want you to remember that I have done something for you through Jesus that you couldn't do for yourself. In fact, in Hebrews, that verse where it talks about spurring each other on to hope, a few verses before that it says, the reason that we have this full assurance, the reason that we can hear God's voice is because we have a great high priest in Jesus. And you know, he always wants us to remember that. So I want to invite those who are serving communion to come up now to their stations, and we're going to have stations around the front here and also on the back levels on the first and second level. And we're going to have another tribal experience where God is going to speak to all who partake in communion tonight. And what God is going to say to you, he's going to say through the mouths of the people who are serving you communion. Because when you come up, and again, we do say communion is for people who are saying, yes, I've received Jesus as my high priest. And if that's you, then I want you to partake of this tonight. And when you come up, they'll give you a piece of bread. And the person who gives you the bread is going to remind you that the body of Christ has been broken for you, that Jesus laid down his life so that you could, in fact, have this intimate connection and relationship with God. And when they say that to you, I actually want to challenge you tonight to respond to them by saying, I receive that. I receive that. So when they give you that piece of bread, the body of Christ broken for you, I want you to respond and say, I receive that, because that's the word of God for you. And then someone else will be holding juice in the juice bottle, wine in the wine, juice cup, and wine in the wine glass. And they're going to tell you that the blood of Christ has been shed for you. Blood of Christ shed for you. And again, when you dip the bread in to either the juice or the wine, I want you to say, I receive that. And as you ingest it tonight, it's a receiving not only of the symbol of what God has done, but the word that God is speaking to you about what he's done for you in Jesus. So God, I'm just praying that tonight, as we take communion as a tribe, that we would be reminded of what you've done for us through Jesus. And that reminder would be as fresh to us as the first day we heard the word that Jesus gave his life for us. That it would be as fresh as the first time someone told us this is the body of Christ broken for you. As fresh as the first time someone told us this is the blood of Christ shed for you. And let us hold tightly to what we've already heard so that we don't drift off and we stay in a place of your pleasure and of your joy, because that's the place that is ours freely by faith. And I ask that would just set us on a course to hear more of your voice, set us on a course to be a tribe together, reminding each other and spurring each other on to love and good deeds, to act on what it is that you're speaking to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I invite you to partake of communion and receive the word of God for you.